Well, let's all stand for a very senior man in the body of Christ in New Zealand. Mike can perhaps fill you in a little bit more. I've filled you in over the last few weeks. So thank you, Pastor Mike. We really respect you, and the floor is yours. Okay? I'll give you the mic.
I was reading about you this morning. It's in Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 1. The king's heart is in the hands of the Lord. It's like a river. He turns it wheresoever he will. I love that about you. The Holy Spirit steering you, guiding you. It's been growing. We've already had church, haven't we? I'm like an add-on extra at the end here. It's amazing. But no, a real privilege to be here. And what a special morning. The Invercargill launch and all the other things and the choir. You didn't tell me all that was going to happen. It's been amazing. No, exactly. Just what I was saying. Amen. So bless you, my friend. It's so good to be here. Yeah, you can sit down if you like. I just want to show you this. This is a Bible. This one is my waving Bible. My study one is too big to wave. So I bring this one to wave to remind people. You know, in my real Bible and the Bibles that preceded it, my life story's in there. And I've had my Bible with me. I go to church expecting God to speak to me. And I read the Bible expecting God to speak to me. And I've got stuff written all through, dates, things that happened. And if I want to read about my story, it's all in my Bibles. I'd like to be a revivalist for the Bible coming back to church. Amen? Yeah? So if you don't have a Bible, just see if you can find a Christian near you. Amen. Yeah, I thought it would be cool to introduce my family. We've got a picture of my family. Can come up on the screen here. That's 6 months after we got saved. You can guess what time that was. That was during the sort of all the Jesus movement and everything else. That was 1974. And we're there on Great Barrier Island at a Christian camp, 6 months on. Wondering what on earth was going on with us. But on the 2nd of June, 1974, we met the Holy Spirit. We'd been churchgoers, but didn't know beyond that, really. I was supposed to be going hang gliding, and it didn't happen. And this guy was going to show me the rope, show me how to do the hang gliding. Who likes extreme? Who believes heaven is going to be extreme? Yeah. Who's not believing for a harp and a cloud? Amen. And so Jeannie had gone out, and she was with some friends, and I was home looking after the kids. And I flicked the news on, and the guy I was going to meet killed himself. He'd done a 360, flown into some high-tension wires, and he was electrocuted. I was an interesting moment because I'd had many near-death experiences, as you do as a crazy, adrenaline-loving person. But on this occasion, this thought came into my head that God was looking after me. And I couldn't shake it off. It was so foreign to me, but I just couldn't shake it off. Jeannie came home. I said, hey, I think God's looking after you. She said, what? She said, I was obviously a bit concerned that, you know, I'd lost a few marbles or something. I said, no, it's real. It's real. It's real. We got to pray. She said, we can't. We're not in a church. I said, no, we've got to pray anyway. And we sat in our lounge in our home. I didn't know I wasn't saved. I didn't know I needed to be saved. But I knew something was going on. And I prayed a very simple prayer. And the power of God came down on the two of us. I felt like liquid love went from the top of my head through the soles of my feet. The two of us together were completely immersed in the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, I definitely believed in a supernatural God. I went and looked for a Bible my mum had given me when I was 16. I'd never opened. We're thumbing through that, trying to find out what was going with us. We're up all night. couldn't sleep because the presence of God was so rich and powerful and real in our lives. So I went off to my job. I was a phys ed teacher. Went off to my work, and there was a meeting, a staff meeting at the beginning of the week, talking about some of the things that would be happening. And after he'd told us all these things, he said, "Does anyone else have anything the staff need to know?" I stood up. I said, "I met God last night." It was right out there, right from the beginning. I earned a corner of the staff room all to myself. But through that, we saw a revival in the college. Because I'd open up the gym on a Friday night, get up 150 larrikins there. Price of entry, 5 minutes of me talking about Jesus. And it went right through the college. It was just a transformational time. But I'll tell you what, you know, ministry begins at home. See, we met the Holy Spirit on the 2nd of June. On the 3rd of June, my ministry began. Ministry is not about a title, about a position. It's about walking with Jesus and doing what he's called you to do. Don't let the title take over. You're still just a servant of Jesus doing what he's called you to do, wherever he leads you. Don't let titles can lead to entitlement, and they're dangerous. So just be careful with how you handle them. It's just describing what you do, not who you are. Amen? And so please, we began to see then God does things in our home. We had the Holy Spirit visiting our home regularly. We'd have our own family worship times. I remember Hermione saying, "Dad, why have we all got blue lights over our heads?" She's just a little kid, you know. And Graham said, "Hey, I just saw Jesus walk through the door." And I go, "Oh, okay, cool." Then we had a visiting speaker come and said, "Hey, this is the place. I just saw Jesus walk through that door." So our kids have grown up experiencing the healing and the presence and the power of God. So our ministry begins at home, amen? And then it flows out into wherever you work, whatever you do. We went to Bible college and then went church planting. Planted a church in Pyrawa and a couple of other churches up in Thames and through in Waihee. While we were there for about 6 years, and we built a building, and we left it mortgage-free. I said, "I'm not moving until that mortgage is paid." And we'd been invited to go to Wellington. I didn't want to go to Wellington. There are heel marks all the way to Wellington, me being dragged down there. Some guy came in and asked Norman, my secretary, "How much do we owe on the building?" Wrote a check, done, I'm on my way. Down to a smaller church in Wellington. And that's where we're going to be next week, in that place. But God does incredible things with a very ordinary person. I'm a very ordinary person walking with an extraordinary God. I feel like almost a weight upon me that, you know, to whom much is given, much is required. God has so blessed me around the nations. I've been into revival. I've been with revivalists. I was in a conference of 5,000. I was next to speak after Yongyi Cho. I mean, you can imagine how nervous that makes you. While I was in Guatemala, I was in the town of Antigua speaking to a group. And I was speaking. I had an interpreter, but my interpreter was obviously no good because there were a few English people going, so I said, "Lord, I need Spanish." And so I began to speak in Spanish. Since then, I've spoken to a whole stadium full of people in Spanish. And my friend Boris was alongside me in case I needed help. And he just started translating me into English. Amen? Pastor New was with me at the time. And so, you know, it's an amazing journey in what God does for you. In our personal lives in church, when we were in Wellington, I was in one of the buildings, and I went in early to pray on a Sunday morning, and I'm praying, and all of a sudden, this hammering, we had big doors, hammering on the doors. I opened it up, it was the fire brigade. Somebody had called the fire brigade because of the smoke rising off the roof. They went up into the ceiling space and we couldn't find a thing. I rang Jean, and said, "Oh, you're joking." "No, I'm not, seriously. Prayer is powerful." Prayer is powerful, amen? And it's amazing what God will do. We were very, very blessed to be born into an era when God was sovereignly just touching lives with anybody knowing what they were doing. Lord, bring it again. That's where we're coming back to, amen? So I feel very blessed and very privileged to be here. I don't know if you scary things, you need to scare yourself if you want to see God do things. Loving you having a healing meeting tonight. I did one in the Dunedin Elam Church on a Sunday evening with a room full of medics, all the medical students, and I'm teaching them about healing. I'm going to show you how to heal the sick, okay? And so I called a young lady up. She came up. She'd had a lumbar puncture in her low back there, and said, "What can do?" She said, "Well, I can hardly move without pain." I said, "Okay, I'm going to pray for you." So I laid hand on her, showed her how to declare the word of God, speak the word of God into them, and tell the other thing where to go. And I said, "Now, what we normally do is say, okay, thank you. Now go and sit down." So we, no, you don't say, "Okay, how are you doing?" Begin to. She began to move, and she was still having extreme pain. So I said to the medical students, I said, "Now, what am I going to do now?" "Oh, that's right. Jesus prayed for somebody twice, didn't he? So I'm going to pray for them again, pray for her again." So I prayed for her again. She was completely healed, and she was jumping around the place. And I called all the people with any ailments up the front. I got the medical students to come and pray for them, and people were getting healed all over the place. Look, church, we need that to be happening now. I want to talk to you this morning about identity. Before I do, I was just... there's a scripture yesterday. I didn't have it in my notes. I rang Rob, poor guy. I rang him a couple of times with late things to put on the screen. But from Zechariah chapter 9 and verses 11 and 12. I just want to bring into context a lot of the things that are going on at the moment. We've got, you know, the Charlie Kirk thing. We've got Brian Tamaki over in the UK. All the awesome stuff that's happening around the place. Please, can we silence the fifth column? Let's not preach about it again. Let's not talk against God's people just because they're not doing the way we think they should do. Amen. Let's just silent. No more talking against other churches. No more speaking out against the people of God. Come on, we're one body. We've got to keep going forward together. I've known Brian since before he was ever Destiny. Now, come on. You've got to look out for these guys. You know, he's doing what we should all be doing. Amen. Now, I know out of this, God is going to raise up a lot more people with the heart of a Charlie Kirk type of people who are going to stand up in the mighty name of Jesus. And there's some in this room right now. I know as a body, that's very much how you stand. That's why I feel comfortable here. Amen. And we made it through all the mandates and things that came through. And yay, woo-hoo, here we are. We're still alive. And I'm still alive after all that. Isn't that amazing? But it talks about, you know, about prisoners of hope. Got it on the screen? You got that one? Okay, that was it. Yeah, Rob, we can do that from where are you, Rob? Come on. That was Zechariah chapter 11. Chapter 9, sorry, verses 11 and 12. Zechariah 9, 11 and 12. Talks about being prisoners of hope. Prisoners of hope. That's a good prisoner to be. Yeah, you're locked up with hope. Hope is a part of who you are. We need a people who are filled with hope right now. He said, "I'm going to restore to you a double portion." Who's ready for a double portion? And that's not just something that we desire, something God's going to do. He's coming back for a glorious church. Not for a bunch of wimps who are waiting to be just taken out of here, but a bunch of people who are ready to walk wherever they need to until Jesus comes back. We are here because we are waiting for the return of the King. That's what we're about. His kingdom, His glory, His power. Amen? And so he told, I'll restore a double portion to you. And then he talks about Judah and Ephraim. Judah is like the bow. Ephraim is the arrow. It's like church. We're being Judah this morning. You're going to be Ephraim when you go out of those doors. You're going to go outside over the wall, and you're going to be out there in hard hat area. You know, one of the scriptures says, you know, Ephraim is my hard hat. You go out under the hard hat area out there, anointed with the Holy Spirit. You've met Jesus here. You go out there into your world. And he said, I'm going to raise up the sons of of Greece against sons of Zion, Zion against the sons of Greece. Greece is the culture that's out there that we're going to talk about a little bit this morning. And we are the sons of Zion because we speak the truth. We bring the word of God, the truth, into situations. And I'm so looking forward to hearing what's going to happen in Invercargill. That's going to be amazing. I'm really excited, man. It's a cool place. A cool place. And there's stuff about Invercargill right now. Your timing is just spot on, perfect. God's about to do a whole bunch of stuff down there. And it's amazing. So I just want to bring that into context to say, hey, you know, we are, God is raising up a people of hope. We're going to be a warrior's sword. We are in a battle that's been right from since the beginning of time. You know, the Greek philosophy, the philosophers, yeah, that Paul sorted out in the Areopagus. He said, hey, look, you got all these gods. Let me show you the real God. That's our job. Amen. So, Father, I just thank you this morning for your word. I pray you'll speak to us individually and corporately. May we know, Lord God, what you want to say to each and every one of us in the mighty name of Jesus. There's a generation who the prince of the power of the air is being very cunning and very clever about the way he is turning people aside. See, there's a parallel universe right from the beginning when God spoke in the garden and spoke our identity into us. The battle began right then about identity. Who are you? Who's your God? And we serve an amazing God, don't we? Is anybody else said, who serves an amazing God? Man, you guys went crazy about your God this morning. Absolutely crazy. That's how it should be. And so I'll just hear the oldest computer was owned by Adam and Eve. It was an Apple with very limited memory. Just one byte and everything crashed. Amen? It's all there. Just to bring the digital into our world right at the beginning. Amen. It's been going on without the digits, but it's been happening right from the beginning. You see, in Genesis, it said, Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Now, come on, please. Know who you are this morning. You have been created in the image of God. I mean, that is mind-blowing. I work out, what me? That's incredible. Yes, you. God's chosen you to represent here on the planet. Jesus came, obviously, to show us the ultimate picture and to give us a way into his kingdom. But we are. Please, don't let people put you down. Don't let people put you down. You are incredible. You've been made in the image of God. Your potential is huge. You were made to rule in the right way as a part of his kingdom. But at the same time, you see, because the devil saw, as the serpent saw, he's creating a whole bunch of beings that are just like him. Oh, this is going to be dreadful. What am I going to do? Because that's where it began. That's where the temptation began. He said, hey, you know, if you want to do what God do, you've got to do what he says, amen. You've got to submit. I can show you another way. An easier way. The serpent said to the woman, you won't surely die. God knows when you eat of this fruit, your eyes will be opened and it'll be like God, knowing good and evil. In other words, you can decide for yourself what's good and what's evil. And you can choose your own identity. I mean, that's the philosopher, that's the Greek pattern. We choose and decide who we're going to be, but we do need to think about the outcomes. Amen? So please, this morning, we're making choices. Life is about choices. I want you to make some great choices this morning, amen? Because God is on your case. Man, this is a crazy church. I love it. I love this church. Some of the subliminal stuff that went on, we've got a picture of the first iPhone. Yeah. The iPhone is making a statement. Why has it got a little eye? I want more of you over there. I want more of you on your device, becoming what's determined over here rather than what's in here. That's in direct contrast to somebody else. Who can you think of that might have been? Somebody else. Who's the opposite to that? We're going to... it's not just a rhetorical question. You can answer if you like. How about John the Baptist? Amen? More of Jesus. John 3, 29 and 30. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease. It's exactly the opposite. We'd want more of Jesus, not more of internet, not more of what's out there. You see, God has a way for us to become who he wants us to be. He's wanting to fully restore our identity. We are going to be dangerous in these last days. We are going to be fearsome people in the face of the devil. He's going to tremble at what God is doing with the church. Please, God's not coming back for a wimp. He's coming back for a glorious church empowered by the Holy Spirit. And it's not for a select people. It's all the people of God. His desire for each and every one of us that we should know the fullness of his character, the fullness of his power, the anointing that all of us can stretch out our hands and deliver the oppressed and bring healing to those who are sick. All of us can speak and declare the word of God with authority and power into situations. All of us can be bold and unafraid. Can I tell you something about the Holy Spirit? The only time the Holy Spirit will move is when you scare yourself. He lives in the scary zone. He does not live in the comfort zone. If you're comfortable, the comforter has nothing to do. He needs you to step out and trust him, step beyond you. So this week, we're all going to step out of our comfort zone. Amen? Some of you, I don't need to tell you that. You already live very uncomfortable lives, okay? But this week, we're going to step out and talk to somebody about Jesus. We're going to step out and do something that is beyond our comfort zone, amen? We're going to step out and just invite somebody to come along to this crazy place next week. Hey, come and see what goes on in this crazy house with us. It's so much fun. You've got no idea where it'll all go. But I'll tell you what, you need to come. You need to be there. Bring them along. Turn them. Come on, let's be a daring, bold people, amen? I could never have spoken in Spanish if I didn't have a go. Yeah? I could never have seen those people healed in the Dunedin thing if I didn't have a go. I had to scare myself. I mean, how nervous was I getting up after Yongi Cho to preach? I persuaded myself that he was my curtain raiser, amen? Not bad for a curtain raiser, eh? So praise the Lord. You see, one of the things I want you to know, when the anointing of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, it's not just the power and the anointing of God. He knows you inside out. He will touch your personality and enable you in areas that are you. He will anoint you as an individual. We don't all come out exactly the same, praise the Lord. For me, I'm for nations. And so nations, languages stick in my head. I was just at the door of the church, and this couple come in and said, "Where are you from?" "Oh, Korea." I said, "Oh, no." "Oh, and you know, say, oh, chop up, get it, so." Yes, we made it, so. Yeah. Amen. So immediately you begin to flow in what God's given. Now, God's given me that gift because he wants me to be for nations. I am for nations. I'm always looking for people to talk to. Where are you from? I met somebody from Zimbabwe this morning. Yeah. So you speak the languages as you meet them. Amen? Supernaturally. God will anoint the touch that is on you. You guys have got so much uniqueness about you that is a touch of God on areas that are not the same for everybody else. Amen? He's uniquely allowed you to be you and to just express him in a unique way. I'm pleased we're all not just like the rebuilt houses in Christchurch, amen? They all look exactly the same. We are all totally different. I mean, turn, look at the person next to you and see what I mean. There's a reason God called us his peculiar people, amen? Yeah, I just need to just explore a little more what's happening with the way the internet is grabbing people. They changed the name from Facebook to Meta. Now, Meta is part of the Greek word metanoi, which means repent. And it's about change. Meta, the original Meta, was in the chariot races, they'd have a post in the ground, which was the place where you turned. And you go around, you turn, okay? So it's a turning place. You know, repentance, of course, is a total change of mind with a heart for wholeness and purity and everything else that goes with it. So repentance. And so they are duplicating the real. That was just the beginning. The Meta is about a change, but this change isn't going to cost you. We know when we we turn our heart to Jesus, it's going to cost us, amen? And we love paying the price. It's a huge privilege. But the next thing that comes out of it is what happens next after Meta, the metaverse. Okay? Now, the metaverse is an alternative to the kingdom. If you're finding the world hard, you can get your own avatar. You look however you like, dress however you like, you can be handsome, strong, whatever you want to be. And you can walk into the metaverse and there are no demands. No demands. You can be whoever you want to be. You can buy some land in there. You can shop in there. You can do everything in there. Just be who you want to be. And it's an escape from reality. And if we don't present a powerful reality, many people are going to choose to escape as they are. So we need the church to be empowered and awake. We all need to be agents of the kingdom in our world. You see, your world is not my world. We all have our own world that we walk into. God's given us the challenge and the charge to take his kingdom into our world, whatever that might be. If you think of the diversity of people in this room right now and the world that they will walk into, we all need to be different. We all are different. We're all gifted and talented for what we walk into. So please, we need to understand this is a desperate hour. We are losing a generation who are choosing an easy way out. And they find it easier to get on the screen and go into the metaverse and be whoever they want to be with no price, no real charge on them. And so it's an escape route that the devil has made to let them out. So, but Jesus has said, in the book of Matthew, which was written primarily for the Jewish people, and he wanted to be very clear about what he was saying. In Matthew chapter 4 and verses 16 and 17, this is the real alternative. Amen. This is what we're going for. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. A lot of darkness out there. They need to see the light. Who are the bearers of the light? Come on, we're called to be the light of the world now. Amen. Jesus came as the light of the world, wants us to now to be the light of the world. So please, come on. When you go to work, remember who you are. Don't go and muttering, oh no, it's Monday. Say, yay, it's Monday. I get to go reach that lot for Jesus. And all the way to it, you're speaking in tongues all the way there. Because you determine the atmosphere when you get there. You don't come under the prevailing atmosphere. You determine, you create the atmosphere wherever you are. Come on, you have the most powerful atmosphere that you carry. You carry the presence of God. Walk with boldness and confidence into your workplaces. Don't let the workplace get over you. You get over the workplace. Amen. Come on. We're sons and daughters of the living God. We have authority in the spiritual realm. Use it on your way to work. Amen. Don't listen to a bunch of other stuff and everything. Just use it on the way to work. Be praying in tongues, speaking out the word of God into your situation. Individuals who have given you a hard time, speak into them as you're going on the way there. And just make people smile, make them happy. Be the happiest guy on the job and doing the business. Just opportunities, take them. Take the opportunities in Jesus' name. Amen. We're all called to be witnesses. Is that true? Any people here, anyone personally who feels they're not called to be a witness for Jesus? Okay, cool. We're all on board. Amen. And it says, from that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Man, is that good news? He's still saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know, I'm going to take you out of the dominion. There's no kingdom of darkness, all right? Because there's only one king. I might be NIV, one of them talks about it. There's not a kingdom of darkness. There's only one king, King Jesus. There's no other king. He's the king. He's the king of kings. There is no other king in the spiritual dimension. He is the only king. So he brings us out of the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. I mean, that's what God wants. If you're here this morning, I want you to know that God has an incredible plan for your life. He wants to take you out of the stuff that's dragging you down right now and to bring you into a place where he'll lift all that stuff off you. He'll walk with you, say, yeah, I've got a place for you in my kingdom. I can cleanse you from all that stuff. I can bring you into a place. Okay, come on, I'm the resurrected king. Every promise is now yes and amen in Christ. Got any Spanish-speaking people here? It just sounds better in Spanish, you know. Todas las promesas que ha hecho Dios son sí en Cristo. Así que por medio de Cristo respondemos, amén para la gloria de Dios. Fuego, fuego. That's fire, amen. Mas, Señor, un nuevo manto sobre los pueblos en nombre de Jesús. I'm really declaring that now, a new mantle of the Holy Spirit over each and every one of you right now. You're stepping into a new realm, into a new day, into a new dimension. Now, you receive the mantle, but you need to use it in the same way that Elisha took the mantle and he smote the waters. He said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And he walked through on dry ground. You have to activate what God's given to you. He is clothing you with a new mantling for the day that you are going into. He is restoring double to you, double portion Holy Spirit. Come on, we read at the beginning that we can go out into the Greek world and bring the joy and the wonder of the kingdom of Jesus into these people. There's a lost world out there, broken people, hurting people who need to hear the good news and to experience the power and the presence of Jesus setting them free. And it's amazing. We are the most privileged people on the planet. I wake up in the morning, I think, Lord, I can hardly believe that you would choose me to do what I do. I know how ordinary I am. I know where I would have been without you. And I just feel so privileged when I wake up in the morning to know that God has made his home in me. The Holy Spirit of God, the same one that raised Christ from the dead, is alive in me. He's got a call on my life. He's got a destiny for me. You know, who wants to be amongst the chosen? Who wants to be chosen? He said, when he's coming back, he'd be with those who are called and chosen and faithful. I want to be riding a white horse with him, amen? If there's something exciting, I want to be there. I want to be coming back when Jesus comes back. If I can be caught up, come back with them. I'd love that, okay? But what you've got to do is you've got to be faithful to your call. Be faithful to your call. Each of us has an individual call to be who he's called us to be. It's so important. Get others to help you. What's my call? What's my calling? What's the best way that I can express who I am for Jesus into my world? And if you're faithful to your call, my desire for Jesus is not to say, well done, good and faithful servant. I want you to greet me at the door, say, come in, Mike. At least you had a go. Amen? That's enough for me. At least you had a go. I've had a go over a lot of things that didn't work, but I've had a go at a lot of things, and they did work. Glory to God. It's amazing when they happen. Amen? So come on, keep having a go. And if you want to be a legend, I've discovered all you have to do is keep turning up and don't do anything stupid. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Come on. Come on. Wake up, church. Revival is about us. It's about us. We carry that out into our world. Let's wake up to who we are, who he is, to the one who's living in us, to the words that he put in him. Come on, when we declare the word of God, we lose angelic activity. Come on. The angels, his mighty ones, who hear his word and do his bidding. Yeah, come on. Come on. The stray sheep, your loved ones who are away from the Lord. They've wandered away from the Lord. They're still His. All the lost stories, they're all His. Lost coin, lost son, lost sheep, they're all His. He just keeps speaking to the seed that you put in them. It's an incorruptible seed. It's still in there. Speak to the seed. Speak life to it in Jesus' name. Call them back. Say, Lord, devise ways of restoring them to your kingdom. Devise ways of bringing them home. Do stuff around the bring. Come on, we need families completed. How many of you need your families to be completed? Come on. You know, I don't want to arrive at the gates of heaven without my family. I want them all to be with me. And for me, it's an ongoing challenge, amen. My kids are all, it's the grandkids. Grandkids are hard to reach because you've got, you feel responsible, but you've got no authority, amen. How many have any others got problems like that? Yeah. How many people find them really good for your prayer life? Families are really good for your prayer life, amen. I'm never short of things to pray. Sometimes I say, Lord, look, there's the list of my family. I just want to talk to you for a while, okay? We had a revivalist came and he came and he said he had his place that he'd go to wait on the Lord. And he got in there and he was having a wonderful time in the presence of God, amazing time in the presence of God. And then he realized he had to go. He had an appointment. Oh, I said, I'm sorry, I've got to go. He said, Lord, it's okay. I saw your list. The primary thing is encountering him and being with him. Amen. He knows your list. If you don't get through the list, don't worry. As long as you get in touch with Jesus. I don't want to go into my days without that sense of knowing his presence. And you guys really helped this morning. Thank you. That was an extra dose. It was fantastic. I didn't sing all the songs because I was trying to save my voice for preaching. But this is fascinating. Matthew chapter 4 and verses 18 to 20. It just flows on from the previous verses about the kingdom of heaven at hand. These are the first things that Jesus said when he came out of the wilderness, okay? They're pretty high priority. He saw, while walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea. For they were fishermen. He said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. I'll just say some things about this that are really important. Let's just break it down a bit. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you. He's more interested in who we become than what we do. He's about shaping us. When he shapes us, what he wants to happen will begin to happen through our lives. Follow me and I will make you. He said, follow me and I will restore to you your kingdom identity that I intended right back in the garden. Now, it doesn't come by sitting still. It's a journey. It's walking with Jesus through the circumstances and the situations of life. Do you follow me? And I will make you. I'll make you a representative of my kingdom. I will see my kingdom. I will see your identity restored to the intention that I had right back in the garden. So in these days, that's exactly what he is about. He is about restoring identity to his people, that you know who you are and you know who your God is. How you see God is the most important thing. Your vision of God is what will shape your life. You need to get into the presence of God, get into the Word of God, and begin to realize how awesome and incredible and amazing our God is. Yes, he's a mysterious God. I've still got questions that won't ever be answered. Amen? Personal choice, God's sovereignty, all the things but they're mysteries because God's a mysterious God, but they're all true. And he loves you with an incredible love, and he will work with you as an individual. He will take who you are and he'll mold you into something that's going to be attractive to the world. And say, oh, who me? Yes, you. Yes, me. I know God's faithful. He does it. He said, follow me and I will make you. He's doing exactly the same with the church. exactly the same. Follow me and I'll make you. I'll help you to become the church you're meant to be that will represent me in the way. And I just want to honor you as a church for sticking to the program and not being distracted by the source of all truth, the government. But we know we need to choose. We need to choose what God says, do what the government says, and then the times when he says, no, you don't do that. All right, so God will give you the discernment and he'll help you in a body like this to know the best way forward. Amen. And so I just want to honor you for that, and I appreciate that. I feel very comfortable amongst you. Don't always feel comfortable preaching here. All the old ones who've been around for so long, oh no, not him again, you know. It's been a long journey. I've seen, you know, the Morrows, Peter Morrow, man, what a man. I loved him in the early days. I remember going to my first APCNZ conference with all these pastors, and I just started. We had about 30 people. People come and say, oh, how are you doing? Yeah. How many are you running? I said, about 30. Oh, and they see them look over your shoulder for somebody more important, you know, but not Peter Morrow. He said, oh, man, awesome. He starts prophesying over you and waving his finger at you and just saying, you know, all this great stuff, a real genuine man of God. And I love seeing that. I really sense an authenticity about this place. I really do. It's very authentic, very real. And it's not like any cover-up thing. It's amazing. No pretense, which is great, isn't it? But for us, we don't need any pretense either. I just want to challenge us this morning. Put our lives into the hands of a loving God. Say, Lord, would you shape me? Would you make me? I'm at the front of the queue. How many people know we're all a work in progress? Yeah. But with just the yieldedness, if we surrender to him, he's going to do what he wants to do, and that's going to be amazing. So can we just stand together for a moment? I just want to restate where we are. Your identity is in Christ. Your identity is in him. Made in the image of Almighty God. It's amazing. Jesus loves you. No matter where you're at right now, he loves you. He loves you beyond measure, beyond anything you can ever understand. And he cares about you and your situation. And I just want us to open our hearts to Jesus this morning and say, Jesus, here I am. Would you make me? Would you shape me? Would you? I want to represent you in my world. I want to walk out with your identity. In Jesus' name, I take authority over every lie of the devil that's been spoken over lives here right now. I put them where they belong. I send the curse back where it belongs in the name of Jesus. I speak the blessing, the freedom, the beauty of Jesus over every life. Every curse, every lie be broken over people's lives. You're not a failure. You're a child of the living God. Don't let people ever put you down. You know who you are in Christ. You're a child of the living God. You carry his presence into your world. And this morning, there'll be a number of us this morning who say, look, I need to go around that chariot post. I need to do a bit of a turn in my life right now. I need to just turn and turn my life to Jesus. And it will be a pleasure and a privilege to join with you in prayer and beginning that journey. He says, you know, if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved as long as we declare it. Lord, I believe in you. I believe that you were raised from the dead. I believe that you're my Savior. Then we can know the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you're here this morning and that's you, can you just give me a quick wave and say, hey, I want to find that new identity you're talking about. I want to be the person. I'm tired of being where I'm at. You know, we need to bring some people, amen. We need to bring some people. I know you get the gospel every week. You get the gospel every week in this place. I know you. I'm pretty sure of that. The good news will be preached. But like right now, I just loose again, Lord, the double portion over this congregation. Let every come just receive right now. Un nuevo manto con poder, autoridad en el nombre de Jesús para toda su vida, su familia, en su trabajo, en toda su vida, en el nombre de Jesús. Ahora, ahora, Señor. Más, Señor. Su presencia. Con poder, autoridad, curidad, en el nombre de Jesús. I thank you, Lord God, over every life right now. I lose your presence and your power. I declare, Lord God, they are walking into this new season. I declare that building is going to be completed. I declare the things they've been, Lord, hanging out for are going to start turning around in a huge way. I declare, Lord God, you'll take what is incredibly powerful and wonderful now, take it to a new level in the mighty name of Jesus. I just see things happening. You know, the result, we got the guy came from Invercargill. He's sown something back into the church. There's going to be more stuff happening, people going out from this church into the community and doing stuff out there. I see that going to a new level as well. God's going to open a whole bunch of new doorways for you in the name of Jesus. And we are into a great season. I'm going to be praying for you. I'm going to be watching over you. I'm going to be keeping an eye on you from now on. You better do something, amen? I'm going to be watching you from over the hill, so you better get on with it and do some stuff. But they're just a huge privilege. I pray God will bless you, give you heart desires. You'll move out in the wonder of the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. Go and do some stuff out there, amen? Scare yourself a little, not on the road. Turn to the person next to you and say, come on, I'm going to scare myself this week, amen? Come on. No. You're probably scared enough already, amen?
Give Mike a great God bless. Thank you, Mike. Thank you so much. And we're not quite finished yet. We're just doing one more thing. Take the hand of the person next to you. If they'll let you have it. if you're not free to do that, you're not comfortable to do that, absolutely okay. Absolutely okay. What next? That's right. I really just want to pick up on one of the things Mike said last, you know, about scaring ourselves. And in other words, just checking out, just stepping out over that line that sometimes we've come to. Probably all of us, or many of us, will have a line of activity or stepping out where we come to that line, and it's that from that line that we back off again. Some people call it the chicken line. You call it whatever you like, but it's that line that that causes the feeling inside to become either so uncomfortable and almost unbearable that you just back off again, so that feeling will settle down. Anybody ever felt that? I know. Lift up the person's hand next to you and wave it. You know, and you know what I mean, don't you? I've found in life if I don't push on that line. If I don't make a decision to step over that line will become a prison for me. It becomes a barrier for me, becomes a limiter for me. There's some lines in my life I know I need to step over. I need to. And so I'm just wondering, in response to what Mike's been sharing this morning, that we sort of, to the best we can in this moment, say to the Lord, help us step over those lines. Amen? Help us, and every one of our lines is different, but you know what it is. You know what it is. How about you pray with me? Yeah, Father, today I thank you for Mike and this stirring message, this encouraging message, and this provoking message. I recognize there's been certain lines that have challenged me. I know I need to step through them. But when I come to them, I've often backed off. Today, Lord, I'm asking for your help. As I make this commitment to step through these lines into fruitfulness, into further growth, and to further experiencing of your power. Father, I commit to challenge at least one of these lines and step through it and experience your power and your glory being released. In Jesus' name, I commit to you that I will move forward. In Jesus' name. Right now, I speak to that line. You will not hold me back. You will not lord it over me. I do not fear you anymore. I'm coming through. I'm coming through. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you so much. Now, one last thing. There is a, and this is where I have a, personally, this is where I have a bit of a dilemma. I think, is it in the square tonight, or one of the squares, there's the event that's going to be basically like a memorial time to Charlie Kirk. Is that right? Somebody help me here. Okay. What time does that start? 7 o'clock. So we're running with what's already been set up here, because this is also about the gospel and about the power of God and about people being healed and giving glory to God. Okay, so we're not going to change that. We're going to run with that. But there may be some of you who have a conviction that you need to be in that gathering. Be released to be in that gathering if you've got a conviction to be in that gathering. Personally, I had a deep respect for Charlie Kirk, still have. What's happening is just exploding, literally exploding around the world. And the impact of death on many people is just incredible. And it's very sad for his wife and family, obviously. But what we're also seeing is it seems to have been like a real catalyst to cause many, many people to rise and become courageous and bold when the enemy may have been trying to oppress them into a small place. So regardless of how you see all this, I want to say to you that that Charlie Kirk is worthy of significant honor, and what he carried, and how and what he endeavored to do, the cold face he was on, and to celebrate his death is a shocking thing. But that's been very exposing. But we don't get into that same spirit. If you're a young person or an old person, you're upset about it, don't get into the same spirit. Stay in the Spirit of God. Amen? Stay in the Spirit of God. Don't get into that other spirit. We're not of that other spirit. We're of the Spirit of God. Okay, so be released if you need to, if you have a conviction to be in that gathering. So God bless you. Have an awesome afternoon. Have a cup of tea, fellowship. God bless you.